If you want to know Jesus' potential for your life, you can't just know it from a distance. You can't think that you know it. You've got to get close to Jesus and walk in his footsteps. Because Jesus is amazing, because he has amazing potential for your life, and he sees you, and he sees you for what you're capable of doing. Much, much, much greater than what you see yourself being potentially doing. And so when Jesus got close to these guys, changed their lives and opened their door. When I got close to Jesus, he changed my life and showed me a completely new perspective. So since going to desiring to die in Texas, I realized I don't like science. I told you that already. I switched to sociology and minor in business when I went to India. I realized that I can't just live my life without doing something greater. I need to figure out a way to really give back. And for me, my outlook was sociology and figuring out how to work in nonprofits. I went to India. I've been to Dubai. I've been to Budapest. I've been to Madrid and London. I've been all these different places across the country. And that's nothing to show about me. It's just to show that when getting connected with God, God changes your life perspective and puts you on a brand new path so much greater than anything you could have ever imagined. And you won't know it until you know him. So there's power in getting to know him. Jesus says that he comes to give life and life to the full. That's what John 10:10 says. So I want you to ask yourself, and take a little second just to soak in, what do you say is your greatest potential? If you can think 20 years from now, this is what I'm going to do. This is the tax. What are you going to do? Think about it. Don't tell me. But you write it down for me. But then I also want you to think, what is Jesus' potential for your life? What does he want to do through you? Where does he want to take you? Where does he want to travel you and do? And, you know, what's the end goal going to be 30 years from now? Talk about potential, right? Here's the thing. Potential energy, originally I had Ross's face on this guy, and then I was like, man, I probably should have asked him first. And so I put it on that. But potential energy is a thing where it's up there. See if I can. Yeah, you just see it. It's up there, but it's not moving yet. Obviously, you guys can see that there's potential for this rock to move down the hill, correct? But it's just there. It's not going anywhere yet, okay? When you see that, it's like all it needs is a push. Because potential, if not fulfilled, remains still. And it dies. And so what's so cool is that we get to be the people who push it. We get to be the people when we connect with God to push it in ways we don't even know. What are you going to do? What is God's potential for your life? And don't you want to know?
Come on.
Don't you want to know what your life could amount to 40 years from now?
Right.
Jesus, being the author and the creator of the universe, the creator of mankind, also created the best version of life as possible. And he wants to give it to you. In order to know it, you got to go to him. Amen?
Amen.
There's adventure out there. Real quick, I never saw myself being up here. I never saw myself speaking to a group like this. I used to sit over the three teens, and I was like, whenever I raise my hand in class, I like quiver. And so, let alone I'll never be up here. But it's just a testament for you guys and for everybody to think, God breaks down your fears and the things that you think you can't even go through, those walls that you can't break through. God wants to break through them and wants to bring you to higher ground. So you guys inspired, you feel like God's got potential for you?
Yeah.
Come on. He does, and he's offering. But here's the catch. There's a catch to it. Okay? Potential energy, unless moved, remains the same. So in order to go somewhere, you gotta pay a price. And God's bus here. In order to achieve the potential of going after your whole heart, going after the limits of what God has set for you, which are no limits, to go after, okay, this is life and life to the full, there's a little price you got to pay. Disciples and non-disciples alike, finding yourself and achieving your potential is a lifelong affair. You don't just get it when you become a Christian. It's a lifelong affair. Can I get amen to that?
Amen.
It's very true. I still try to find myself. I still get insecure sometimes. And we'll always be learning more and more about ourselves. But there's a way to unlock what God's potential is for you, and to go after you. You guys want to hear about that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Pretty far behind. The clicker is a powerful tool. All right. You have to let it go. How do you achieve God's purpose for your life? You have to let go. To find yourself, you got to let go. That's so contradictory to the way we think, right? In order to find yourself, what are some things, I'll ask you guys this question. What are some things that people do to find themselves? Just speak up. What do you guys think? What are some things people do to find themselves? They travel. Nice and loud. So if you'll travel, you'll find themselves. An existential affair. What else?
Music.
Music, okay. They listen to music or they do music?
Both.
Both. That's a good point. What do people do? Just shout it out before to find themselves. Yeah. They become writers, right? They express themselves, go deep into themselves. What else? What else?
I think substance.
Yeah, say it all. What is that?
Substance.
Okay. Going deep into their inner working, trying to experience a higher version of themselves. What else?
Bible.
They go to the Bible. Some people go to the Bible to show themselves. Awesome.
Church hopping.
Church hopping. Okay, they go from place to place. Where am I going to go? Where am I going? Some people become philosophers. They go, I gotta know all the information and all the knowledge, right? What else? Anybody else want?
Relationship.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. How do I find myself? I go to somebody else and then they'll help me find myself.
Yeah.
That works, right?
I think in dabbling and trying things.
Mm.
Just letting yourself try anything to see how you like it.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. So you kind of just experience all the different things that life has to offer. That's a good point. I found some stuff. They explore nature. Christopher Candles went to Alaska, and he goes, I'm going to find the purpose of life out there. And his last journal entry, he wrote, the purpose of life basically is having relationships. I'm dying a very lonely death, and he dies a couple days later. Oh, that's rough. So exploring nature, trying to find themselves. I'm sorry about that. Ask others what they think about them. What do you think about me? Who am I? Bungee jumping. Experiencing the true joy, right? Skydiving. Oh, skydiving. Maybe you want to go skydiving. That's pretty cool.
I want to go skydiving.
Excelling in sports. That's some of us discovering what you're good at. Like Shauna was saying, exploring different interests, trying yoga, meditation. Right? Trying to figure out who you really are.
Going to the deeper parts of your brain, and you go there. In Mark 1, when I talked about essentially Jesus' steps and trying to help someone unlock their potential. The first steps for these fishermen to become the men that they became was to get out of the boat. And the first steps was to leave their nets behind and leaving their father behind. There was a cost for them to achieve and unlock their potential, amen? Turn your Bibles over to you, Matthew chapter 10,
all right.
Verse 37.
Come on,
Matt. Matthew 10, 37.
It's a great name.
It's a real good name. Counterculture to the ways we think. Jesus' plan to find ourselves. How do we go about discovering who we really are and who we want to be? You guys feel like that's a problem in our generation? Can I discover who am I really? I think it's a problem for me. It's a problem for you guys too. Matthew 10, verse 37. The Bible reads, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me and my sake will find it. What? To find yourself, you have to lose yourself. But if you find yourself, you lose yourself. What? What does that mean? I want to find myself, so I'll spend all my life trying to find myself. I'll spend all of my life doing these things and doing these adventures so that I can discover who I am. I'll go deeper into music. I'll go deeper into philosophy and ideas and thoughts and relationships. I'll discover. But that's not God's plan for you to discover who you really are.
Right.
We all need to know who we are, right?
Right.
God's plan is first you got to lose yourself and let go, and then you'll find yourself. Satan's plan is on the obvious opposite. He goes, you got to go out and find yourself, girl. You got to find yourself, yeah. What is that going to be? Going deeper into different things. And Satan's plan in doing this, and I think the way that he's really gotten our world really good, is that he distracts us from really finding the true potential in our life by disguising us in these things.
Right.
Disguising us that relationships are the way that we're going to find ourselves.
Come on, man.
Disguising us with the time spent playing basketball, the time spent doing sports and doing art and you know, philosophizing and all these different things. That's how we're going to find ourselves. I think Satan's done a really good job with that.
Yeah.
And I was writing this, and I was like, but some of that is true. That's how you find yourself, right? And it's, I think a portion of it is true. But really, the real way to find yourself is according to God. And God goes, you first have to lose yourself for me and my sake. And then you will find out who you really are.
Wow. Yeah. Come on.
I really want to know who I am.
Come on.
What's so cool is that being a Christian and now being here for almost 6 years tomorrow, I'll be baptized at 6 years tomorrow. Woo! Is that I just want to share that I've just learned how to be secure. Before I was a disciple, I didn't know what security meant. I was a hot mess, and I was all over the place. And I thought I knew who I was, but I didn't. And so I was insecure all the time. And so, but it was so cool that going to God helped me discover this is who I can really be. This is who I am.
Right.
And I'll tell you the truth, and this isn't just some hokey theology. I really feel like I know who I am.
Come on, Matt.
And I believe it, and I'm secure in that. And there are times where I'm not secure, but overall, I believe that I am. So it's really good. Well, look at this scripture really quick. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. I'll show you from here. Because my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Verse 22. Although you wash yourself with soap and use an abundance of cleansing powder, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the sovereign Lord. That's a pretty powerful scripture, right? What is he saying? He goes, you've let go of the things I've offered. You've let go of the well of living life, the well of true water and satisfaction, and you've gone after building your own cisterns. Your own cisterns that hold water. However, on the bottom, it's cracked and it doesn't hold water. You keep filling, you keep filling, but at the end of the day, the well is still dry. And he goes in verse 22, talks about what are some things that you do. You wash yourself with soap. You use an abundance of cleansing powder. No, I'm good. I look good. I'm happy. But my family's a mess. You know, we're dealing with that, right? I'm happy, but things are really hard. I'm happy, but I'm kind of insecure. And I'm not saying this is just for non-disciples. I guess it's the same for Christians too. Is that we go after cleansing ourselves and putting up this really good front when inside it might not be good.
Right.
Maybe you'd be seeking those things that aren't filling us again. And the truth is, Jesus says, come and buy from me. Come to me and put down the soap. Let go of the soap. Let go of the cover-up and the powder. Let go of the impurity, the thirst for attention of others, the fear of worry for the future, the fear of what my friends think if I decide to follow God. The fear of those different things. That let go and let God show you what he has to offer. That's what we get to see is true life and life to the full. It's when you let go and let God show you what he truly has to offer. But no, I have to be perfect to be a disciple. I have to be perfect to the best version of me to become a disciple, right? Yeah, I thought that for a long time. I don't know you guys, but I thought that. I was like, I have to be a lot better than I am right now to be a disciple. But that's not really what the Bible says. I mean, you have the same Bible as I do. It says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come to call the perfect but sinners to repentance. He came for you. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. It's not the healthy you need a doctor, Mark 7, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous but sinners. Do you want to get better? What do you do when you're sick? And what does your doctor tell you to do? Do you obey your doctor? If you want to get better, you obey your doctor. Jesus is saying here, I'm your doctor. Obey your doctor and you will get better. I've come to heal. Jesus came as a doctor to the spiritually sick, and the cure is obedience to him. Obedience to your doctor, not hold a day. You're in a great place because you get to find your potential. You're in a great place because you're not perfect. You're a good person because God wants to do amazing things through you and meet you wherever you are.
Yes.
You don't have to be better. You don't have to be worse. You can just be who you are and come to God because God wants you.
Yeah.
God saw the fishermen in the boat, and he didn't see them for fishermen. He saw them for world changers.
Right.
God sees you, he doesn't see you as a preteen, or as a young teen, or as a teen, or a campus student. He sees you for a world changer. He wants to take you on the journey that you always wanted and beyond. Places that you could never imagine. But in order to do that, you have to let go. You have to experience it. When you let go, sometimes things hurt. The truth is, I heard Rob say this a bunch of times in Bible studies, there's no conversion without conflict. When you let go of those pillars of your heart, the things that you held on to for so long, it's going to hurt. And it's expected. But if you want to live life and life to the full, you've got to let go of the things that you're holding on to, because God wants to take you to higher and greater places. Jesus says to find yourself and to find your potential, you need to love you, you need to lose yourself, let go of those pillars, and let go of the stronghold that Satan has put up on you, and roll with God's plans. Your potential is so great. Greater than you know, and greater than you have as you sit in this auditorium. You have amazing potential. I believe that, but even more so, God believes that. So guys, let's experience our potential, let go of the past, and become the world changers that God wants us to be. Amen.
Keep it up for Matt pouring his heart out. Come on. All right. Well, let's close out in song here. Let's stand.